Now we take you back to the night of March 10th, 1999, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
I've got this fax from Boston, I think. Yep. Hello from Boston, it says. The fax is entitled, I Sold My Soul on eBay. How are you, Art? I fell in love with your show on a road trip to Atlanta last year and been listening ever since. Say, you know that online auction site eBay? Well, I was paying them my daily visit the other night and discovered the strangest thing. People selling their souls. Some souls are getting upwards of $10 million. Some souls even come with bonus cat souls. If you do a search for a human soul, you'll see what I'm talking about. What are you looking for? He goes on, now, I'm not the one to say if this is all humor or if it's for real, but can you imagine if people are actually paying for other people's souls? Please respond in any way you can. If you can get online during your show, I suggest you do it and read a couple of the auctions on air. For instance, one human soul slightly damaged due to lightning strike. Thanks for your time and good night. Scott in Boston. Well, I'm going to have to give that a try, Scott. I don't know. What are you looking for? Hi there. Peter, welcome back.
Hi, thanks.
I want to give you an opportunity. We're going to go to the phones here in this segment, but I want to give you an opportunity to plug your book, The Division of Consciousness. Where is that book available?
It's available at most of the big bookstores, you know, Barnes & Noble's, Borders, that sort of thing, and of course you can get it on the internet at Amazon.com.
And I think we've got a link to that on my website, so they could go there. All right. Very good. So available nationally and Amazon.com through my website, blah, blah, blah. So that's good. That's easy. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Peter Novak. Good morning to you.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Hi. Nice to talk to you, Art. I'm calling from Bellingham, Washington, KGIM 790. This is Sonny.
Yes, Sonny.
I'd like to pose a question to Mr. Novak.
Yes.
Is it possible, or did which side of the brain do you think, if it's possible, formed first, the right or the left? I would say it would be the right formed first, because it found out it couldn't survive without the left. You couldn't wrestle a rhino to the ground with the feelings. You have to have some logic on the left-hand side. And if my theory is true, would the two sides now be working and evolving toward a third, let's say a third of a third of a third of a brain instead of just two halves?
Peter?
That's my question. Good night, Art. I'm going to listen off the air.
All right. Which part of the brain evolved first, do you think, Peter, right or left?
Well, actually, I think that they probably evolved simultaneously, and they then slowly differentiated. They were originally a single... I don't know. I'm talking about the brain so much as the mind itself. I don't identify the two.
I know what you're talking about. In other words, you have been sort of preaching throughout all this that a separation between what the psychologists are now looking at in modern day is the meat that we are, the physical meat that we are, versus the immortal aspects of ourselves, yes?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought it was. All right, in that case, we'll not discuss the other part. One quick question before we go back to the phones, and that is, that man who walked around here a couple thousand years ago, described in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
allegorical or absolutely?
Well, I think that was not only a true story. I think that's the whole linchpin of history and the linchpin of this theory that I'm talking about. If this theory is correct, and that we do divide, the most people divide apart at death,
yes.
We keep on losing our souls. We keep on losing our unconscious minds and all of our memories and all of our egos, life after life after life, and then just keep building up and building up and building up in the collective unconscious, I assume.
All right.
And they would be forever lost to us if not for what that man did 2,000 years ago. I think that through his, this is rather complicated, I don't know if I can explain it all over the phone, but I believe that what he did was the thing that allowed the Judgment Day prophecies to actually be possible, that they could be fulfilled, and which, of course, you know that the one of the most important things about that is that all the the dead from all past history is supposed to rise back up again.
Yes, I know.
I think that what he did made that possible. But what's interesting is that if this theory is true, if reincarnation is true, then all those people, all those past dead that are supposed to return again in the last day, they are not going to return in separate bodies, but instead they're going to be popping up from within the backs of our own minds, popping up back up to consciousness within our own skulls.
Huh.
And we're going to suddenly have, what, dozens or hundreds of other people floating around inside of our own bodies at the same time.
Wow, which is what a mess that's going to be.
Because a lot of the Old Testament prophecies about Judgment Day describe that very thing. They talk about an invasion, that Judgment Day would be the time of a great invasion. And they describe the invading army as being ancient and enduring, the most ruthless of all peoples. And if it was an army of the recently risen from the dead souls, they would be both ancient and enduring, and as people who quite literally knew what it meant to be dead, they would indeed be very ruthless.
Understood. All right. Fascinating. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello there.
Yeah, Art, this is Alan from Salem.
Okay, meet Peter Novak and Art Bell.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I've got something I wanted to ask you here. That man you're talking about that existed 2,000 years ago, it talks about him in the book, removing demons from people who are possessed. Now, these demons can move from person to person, and they don't die. They just keep moving down the line. In the Bible, it's written that everyone is to be born in the flesh only once. Now, my idea on this is the fact that these demons possess memories, and they can go into one person, bring the memories from the last person they were in to that person, and this is the general consensus that most Christians have, because, of course, most Christians don't believe in reincarnation.
So, in other words, what he is thinking of reincarnation, you view as a demon jumping from one mortal to another.
And bringing those memories
with
and
it.
Fooling the person into thinking they yep. were that person, even though those memories were brought to that person by that demon.
Clearly, I understand.
It's just something I wanted to throw in there. I'll let you go now, and
all right.
I sure appreciate your show.
All right, thank you very much. Peter, there's one for you.
Well, I think that such things as demons do exist, and in fact, I think that they are composed of composites of, discarded souls within the collective unconscious. But I think that most people, when they do, I don't think there's, first of all, there's very many people that do recall their past life memories. But what's interesting is that most of the people that do seem to be, they don't seem to present any indications of being possessed. On the contrary, they seem to be exceptionally, people of exceptional integrity and honor and even spirituality. So I think that it's a... it would be a poor argument to make to say that these people are possessed when they actually seem to have some of the highest examples of human...
All right, boy, I understand what you're saying. Boy, have I got a call for you, I think. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Peter Novak. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Where are you, dear?
I'm in South Carolina.
South Carolina.
My name is Brenda.
Brenda, all right.
I saw on a program, I think it was called The Other Side, where if you asked a child that was 3 or under, if they remembered their having died, that a lot of them could.
That's
so
right.
I tried it on my granddaughter.
Oh, you did?
Yes, and she scared me to death.
What did she say? What did she say, Brenda?
She told me, yes, that she remembered 3 men broke into her house, and they were trying to take her. And she all of a sudden dropped her head, and she says, "Grandmommy, I wished I hadn't screamed and woke Mommy up, because they killed Mommy."
Oh, my God.
And it was...
Now, this she was 3?
Yes.
How did you ask her exactly? How did you ask her?
I just said, "Jessica, do you remember when you died?" And she said, "Yeah."
Wow.
And she started telling me about it.
Wow.
It scared me.
Believe me, I understand. Peter, have you done any research into this sort of thing?
Well, there's a book that's been written on this, on the past life memories of children. I don't remember the name of it, actually, but it's something that came out within the last few years. Yeah, I think that kids seem to be able to have more memory of the past lives than, you know, adults do. Very fascinating. Again, this would support the idea that, you know, in order to obtain these memories, you have to have some degree of integrity, you know, which kids do, and they don't lose really until they get older.
Brenda?
Yes.
How old is that child now?
She's five.
Mm-hmm. You know, in a few years, you ought to try it again mm-hmm. and see what you get.
I tried it on her sister, and it didn't work on her.
How old
she
was
she? She just laughed at me.
And how old was she?
She was like two when I asked her.
She was two and she laughed.
Right. She just laughed about it. She wouldn't tell me anything. So I figured she just didn't remember because she seemed really puzzled by it. But her older sister, she had a problem after relating this to me. She started having nightmares about the men breaking in and getting her and her mother.
Wow. Wow, that's absolutely remarkable, Brenda. And I'm not sure whether to say you have random anecdotal evidence and whether you shouldn't have asked that question or whether you really do have something significant. But that's really something.
I didn't want to believe in reincarnation until she was so sincere about it and went into such detail about it.
Sure. Did you do any research? Did you ask her what was your name or anything like that?
No, I didn't, because it freaked me out so bad.
I hear that.
It was bothering her, too, and I just wanted her to forget about it and talk about something else.
Brenda, thank you. That is remarkable. That is really remarkable, and it certainly would scream for more research.
Mm-hmm.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Peter Novak. Hi.
Good evening, Art. First, I'd like to say my thoughts with Richard.
Thank you.
The gentleman who keeps attacking him. Well, personally, I think he's mentally impotent for attacking someone for their beliefs.
Well, no, mentally impotent not for that, but for attacking, not for beliefs, not for data points, but personal ad hominem attacks just to attack. That's pretty lame.
Well,
I mean, if somebody wants to attack what you believe, then hey, no problem. If they want to attack your theories, your data, your logic, whatever that is, that's fine. That's supposed to happen, and better happen, or we're not being honest with each other. But when you just attack a person's character, that's a different story.
True enough.
Anyway,
my question is for your guest: why would they so-called, I guess, recycle the conscious half instead of the subconscious? I mean, wouldn't it be better, actually, to, you know, recycle the subconscious?
Well, as far as being able to retain, you know, what you've done over the course of a life, yeah, sure, that would be better. I don't know it's a matter of everything being designed this way. I'm pretty much convinced that the whole division and the loss of memory was a mistake. It's an error that has been introduced into a system that was working properly before that error occurred.
Mm.
I think that, you know, the whole biblical idea about history, about there being a fall from grace, and then Jesus came to correct it, and then at Judgment Day everything is going to get restored to the way it was before. I think that all fits into this. That at the fall from grace was when we first started doing this dividing, and, you know, things haven't been working right since.
Hmm.
Wow.
All right.
Anyway, thank you, Art.
All right, thank you, sir. And you too. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Peter Novak.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'm calling from Honolulu, KHVH.
Yes.
And then it sounds like we are in a three-dimensional world with time. So when,
yes,
before we're born, I guess we're in an infinite time. Well, there's no time. Yes?
A place where there is no time. Yes, I quite agree with you, and I think that Peter does as well.
Right. Yeah. Both the conscious, or both the soul and the spirit, you know, whether you're talking about the soul, the spirit weighing in between lives, or the soul in its dream world, neither one seems to experience time the same way that we do, according to the reports.
Yeah, I think the unconscious, if that's eternal, that would be like the Akashic records that the Indians talk about, yeah?
Right, right.
So that would be the eternal thing. And then our consciousness we get from birth because we enter this three dimension with time, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. And then, let's see. Oh, yeah, and then what you were talking about before, the grace, that would be like when we're in this another dimension that's, you know, beyond time, before we're born.
Right, independent of time, I suppose.
One could imagine doing research. If you go back to the lady who was on the air with us a little while ago, who was so fascinating, I think it was Brenda. If you were to do a more involved investigation, if you didn't get freaked out, and I'm like Brenda, I would have freaked out, but if you could actually get a name and a place and a time to go with what occurred, the way you were killed or died in the prior life, then you could actually do research, and
sure,
you could endeavor to prove that, and you do that from a 2 or 3 year old, and baby, I'm not sure how you argue against that one. If you do the research,
that research has been ongoing. Ian Stevenson from University of Virginia has spent his whole life compiling data along those lines of memories of past lives, and then trying to follow up with actual data that supports those stories about, you know, people and places and the events from the past.
How would anybody possibly dispute that?
I don't know, but they do.
I just can't understand how they would dispute it, not from a 2 or 3 year old. You say they do. Well, all right. You have been very, very, very interesting to have on the air, and I hope that people will run out and get your book.
I hope so, too. Thank you.
It has been a pleasure to have you on the air, Peter, and you've given me a lot to think about. And the high point of the night for me, I discuss this kind of thing all the time, has been the explanation, rather elegant, I must say, of what I call the tape reel, or the tape loop ghost.
Mm-hmm.
No one has ever answered that one for me until you came around. How long did you take to write this book, Peter?
I started the research, well, after my wife died, and I came up with this theory in 1988, and it took me 9 years to write the book and find a publisher. Yeah.
9 years. That's a lot of research. That's a whole lot of research.
Yeah, it is, and there's an awful lot of it that ended up in the book.
All right. In that case, people have a lot to look forward to. Peter, again, my thanks for coming on the air with me, and you've given me a lot to think about.
Thank you.
All right. Good night. That is Peter Novak, and his book is The Division of Consciousness. And that is indeed something to consider, isn't it? All right, what we are going to do with the remainder of the evening, another couple hours, is nothing but open lines. Unscreened, unpredictable, the complete unknown. If you want to, Brenda was a particularly interesting call, wasn't she? If you would like to respond to what Brenda had to say, if you have an answer for that that would make some sense, I'd like to hear it. I can't imagine any reasonable answer to what a three-year-old would say about an immediate response with an absolute story about how she died. That really is eerie, isn't it? All right, we're going to break here at the top of the hour, and when we come back, 2 hours of the absolute unknown. So if you've got something you'd like to slip in, here we are from the high desert. I'm Art Bell. The news on Richard Hoagland, good. Richard has come through the operation intact and is in recovery, and we're going to have to watch him very closely for the next 48 hours, let's say. and get him out of the woods. So if you've been thinking good thoughts, don't stop. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from March 10th, 1999.